It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Welcome back, and thank you very much for still tuning in. You're listening to Naye Luphondolo Live with you until 3 o'clock. We are now joined by Pastor Lizwe Chinyama, who's going to be answering our question for today in our Ask a Pastor feature. Remember, this feature is for you. Whatever questions you have, whatever biblical questions or Christian or religious questions you may have, you can ask that question here, and we'll find a pastor for you who will answer the question for you. And for this week, Pastor Lizwe Chinyama is our guest, is our Ask a Pastor pastor. And our question for today is, if 100 different religions have to be wrong for yours to be right, does this show that people from all over the world like to invent gods that don't exist? That's our question for today. It's a very, very pregnant question if you ask me, but then again, I'm not the pastor here. So it's the pastor who's going to analyze the question and give an answer. Pastor Lizwe Chinyama, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us. Pastor Lizwe?
Thank you so much, my moderator. Thank you, and good afternoon. Afternoon to you too. I hope I am clear enough.
Yes, much, much, much better. All right, our question for today, Pastor, is, if 100 different religions have to be wrong for yours to be right, does this show that people from all over the world like to invent gods that don't exist? I found that question to be rather odd, oddly phrased and rather peculiar, pregnant with a lot of things hanging through and through. But I'd love to hear your analysis of the question and your answer, Pastor.
Thank you so much. It is more like a two or three in one question, because there are many elements involved. Firstly, when we see the key word here in the first sentence, if 100 different religions have to be wrong for yours to be right. So the word that we single out there is religion. What is religion? According to the dictionary, I have with me here two dictionary definitions. The first one, religion is said to be a belief in the existence of a supernatural, you know, ruling power. And the other definition, again from the dictionary, it is one of the various systems of faith and worship based on such or a certain belief. For example, Christianity, Islam, and Buddhism. But again, we go further. Now we come closer to the Word of God. The inspired writings from Ellen G. White, one of the inspired authors, says, true religion consists not in systems or creeds or rites, but in the performance of loving deeds, in bringing the greatest good to others. And that's in her book called or entitled Desire of Ages. What about the Bible now, to make the fourth definition? From the Bible, James chapter 1, verse 27, James 1, verse 27, scripture there says, is pure and undefiled for God and the Father is this, and visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble, and also to keep yourself oneself unspotted. If at all the 100 religions have to be wrong for yours to be right, the question we ask ourselves is, what is the form of that religion that is deemed to be right, and what is also the form of the religion, not only the belief system or a worship system? So for something to be right, then is it really acceptable before God, and is God happy? Does he approve? Is it there in his law? Then what is right? Then automatically anything besides that is wrong religion. So it doesn't matter, it could be more than 100, but if they are not practicing what is correct, they're not loving deeds, then your religion, even if it's the only one there, then it is right. Then the other part of the question, where is the other part? Do people all over the world like to invent, like to incorporate a small god that don't even exist? Well, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, the Bible there says,
You shall Sorry, Mfundisi. I think our line is disappointing.
Shall not have other gods. And verse 4, you shall not make for okay, but I can hear you.
Okay. Go ahead, Mfundisi. I think our line is, it keeps on cutting you, so we can't make out. You're quoting Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Okay. Could you go back there again, Mfundisi?
Right, so from there again,
okay. Mfu, I think our line is just deteriorated. Let me try and call the pastor back again. Hopefully, we'll be able to get a clearer line. This one has since deteriorated to the stage of inaudibility. Do apologize for that. I don't know whether it's the cold, or maybe it's just the lines generally in Zambia. I don't know. So let's hope we'll be able to connect this time around. Trying to get to Mfundisi Ulizu Chinyama, who is answering our question for today. And our question for today, in my humble estimation, is somewhat oddly phrased. And let me, while we're still trying to get the pastor to pick up, the question says, if, which, so this person who's asking this question is not sure. He is doubting that there's only one true religion. This person says, if 800 different religions have to be wrong, and that phrasing, have to be wrong, implies an act of changing something. Have to be. When you say have to be, you're suggesting that it can change from one state to be. And that have to be implies an imperative desire on your part, which suggests that you would want things to be that way. Not that they are wrong, but you would want them to be wrong. That's our question. The pastor is not coming through for some reason. And then the question continues, for yours to be right. So that if is questioning whether your religion is in fact right, because your desire, as implied by have to be wrong, is to change the right ones into being wrong. And then this question continues, does this show that people from all over the world like to invent gods that don't exist? Again, implying that yours as well may very well be a creation of your own ingenuity, whereas it does not exist. It would have been lovely to engage this person who wrote this question. Pastor Lizu, can you hear me?
Yes, it is pretty good and clear.
Okay, all right. Continuing from this, we got stuck there when you were explaining the tenets of Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Go ahead, Mfundisi.
Okay, thank you. So after having read and understood the context from Exodus 20, verse 3, in summary, what we can say is this religion is about a choice. And then there's another word called ethics. Ethics is about what is right and acceptable before God and man. So religion is about a choice. So people may choose to make small gods, to invent gods that don't exist, because they think that these small gods will offer their needs, will be able to cater for their emotional desires and every other desire that they need. And so the question to say, do people like to invent? The answer can be yes and no. Those that like to invent, then they go against the biblical principle. Then those that do not, it's because they have known, they have stopped, or they've never worshipped these small gods, because from inception, God protected them, and they are now depending upon the biblical standard. So religion is about a choice. You can choose to worship God. You can choose not to worship God based on your conviction. But the Bible has told us that God says, worship me and no any other God, for I am a jealous God. So whether many religions seem right, the question is, what is making them right? If many are seeming wrong, the question is, what is making them wrong? So we should be able to understand that the center of religion, does it have loving deeds? Is it about caring for one another? And so on and so forth. I think that's what I can summarize on the question of a religion, and also a question of either do people have to invent gods and that don't exist. Thank you so much.
So a lot of people have asked this question with the context that the God of the Israelites was invented by Moses, and some are saying it was invented from the Book of the Dead, and some are saying this was invented by some small tribe that was a defecting from Egypt. There was no such exodus led by some god. It was just a means by which to manage or govern these small tribes that defected from Egypt. And as such, they used most of the Egyptian laws from the Book of the Dead, which is an Egyptian document, and also some of the historical references that can be verified from the Merneptah Stele are all Egyptian references, not necessarily Israeli or Israelite references. Even the name Yahweh, which is YHWH, is a Canaanite god that was discovered in an African mountain range, the Sinai Peninsula. How do you respond to that?
Okay, thank you. So number one, it's not Moses who invented God. And again, it's not the Israelites who invented God. And the word Yahweh, which is spelled in Hebrew, YHWH, this word Yahweh means Lord. Lord, who is provider of everything. And so the word Yahweh does not symbolize a small god, and neither was it invented by the Hebrews, but God inspired the writers to be able to translate this word and eventually come up with this particular spelling. So Yahweh is not a small god, but it's actually a big god, or the Lord himself with capital letters. If you take note of the spelling of all the word Lord in all capital letters, the translation there is Yahweh. So God has been there before the creation of the earth. He was present on earth according to Genesis 1 verse 1. So he has no beginning, but it's this world that has a beginning. And so God, the supreme God, Yahweh, the Lord, has no creation. He is creator, and he is beyond creation. Thank you.
This the very writing, Mpundisi, is alleged to be a creation. Just the idea of having the Yod Hey Wow Hey, that Yod Hey Wow Hey is a fictitious creation that did not have any existence prior to Moses having an encounter with some deity in this African mountain range called the Sinai Peninsula. Not quite sure how. I understand you're saying God was not created, but the person who's asking this question has been told that there are gods that have been created, and this person moves from the premise that all of these other gods, and possibly even yours, is created. Now, do we have any evidence to counter-argue what this person has been told?
Okay, the book of Isaiah, maybe in the 45th chapter, the Lord says, "There, I am the Lord your God, and besides me, there is no other." It should be one of the verses in the 45th chapter of Isaiah. Scripture there says, "I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no other." So the answer that we can give our brother or our sister in a question that will trouble them to say, are there other gods that were created? No, there is only one God who was there, and he was there even before the beginning, and he's the one who brought the beginning to start, or to begin rather.
I hear you, Pastor. Let me give you another example. Perhaps you'll understand it in this fashion. Moses goes back to Egypt, and he is supposedly coming with the power of this newly discovered god. He never knew anything about this god up until the burning bush. This Moses comes and performs miracles that are old school as far as the Egyptian magicians are concerned. Turning the stick into snakes, they did that too. Now, if we contend with the truth that the God of Moses did something that the God of the Egyptians did as well, we cannot say there is no other. Because the very same stick that was turned miraculously into a snake, their Egyptian sticks turned as well into snakes. Granted, Moses' stick ate all the other snakes. I consider I have no problem with that. But that there is another power. Yes. The fact that there is another power out there that is able to do the very same thing that Moses did, we cannot therefore say there is no other but one, right?
All right, correct. I'm getting you. Okay, so my response there is when we read Revelation chapter 16, verse 16, we find, actually, let's begin from verse 13, Revelation 16, verse 13. And the Bible there says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." Right. Then verse 14. "For they are..."
And the line goes down again.
"Are spirits of demons performing signs." Now, that word should be underlined. "Performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth, and okay, online."
Yes, we're still here, Pastor. I think we just got interrupted again. Your line just got cut there. You were still reading Revelations, where these false preachers or prophets are performing signs. You explained that part. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, so an explanation on Revelation 16, verse 13 and 14, we find some other power that is coming on board and is performing signs, and they go out of the earth and the whole world and gather the people for the battle of the great day of the Armageddon. So what we understand there is from the time Lucifer was cast out from heaven, his power was not withdrawn from him. Hence, he has power to influence nature as well, just as God has power, because no power was withdrawn from him. And so these other gods that we see now, it's not capital G, but it is small g. This is a small god that counteracts the main power of the great God. Take for example, Elijah, on the with the gods of Baal. They also had powers, but to some extent, their powers failed them. So when we say, are there other gods that were created? The answer, okay, we can say yes, because these gods are emerging because they have their leader, who is Satan himself, and he still has those powers until one day they'll be taken away. But we should always remember that we have one superior God. And so to invent any other god, to believe in any other god besides the superior God, is now determinant upon an individual and their religion.
But then again, Satan was not invented by mankind. Satan was created by God, isn't it?
Yes, created by God.
So when we are talking about Satan and the powers he has that were never stripped from him, we're talking about another power that is able to do things, extraordinary things. And that is not necessarily false. It's true that these other powers are able to do extraordinary things just as much as the one true God, Yahweh, is able to do extraordinary things. And the question then is, how do we arrive at the conclusion that these other people who have chosen Satan as their God is wrong? Why do we say that one is wrong? Because he is a God. He may be a small letter God, small letter G, but he has the same power that elevates him to the level of a god. How do we say that one is wrong? People choose to have an evil god as opposed to a good god. Surely that is their choice. How do we arrive at the conclusion that their choice is that we have established that he has supernatural godlike powers that were never stripped from him? That much we've established, right, Pastor? So if people choose that evil power, why do we say that one is wrong? or false?
Okay. How can we arrive to a conclusion of the right God or the false God? Now, many examples are these. Number one, scripture reminds us through the writings of Peter that if a certain a decree or rule has been made, if it is conflicting or going at par with what scripture says, then you drop that out and take what the scripture says. Example number two on how we can arrive at the conclusion of the right God and the right power is the power of the true God cannot be manipulated. You don't have to struggle for that power to come. All you simply have to do is ask, because the Bible says in Ephesians 3 verse 20 that the Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that we ask. And so we do not have to strive and struggle for it, but it will just come. And then we'll be able to know that, well, we have asked and we have received. So there is a God who is supernatural, who has made me be able to do this or to move these mountains. Again, how else can we arrive to the conclusion of the right God? The right God will not use his power to manipulate nature in a way of just trying to please man. But the power of the rightful God will come so that a certain outcome is achieved, and that is to bring the glory of the kingdom of God. But the power of the small God will be to bring glory to the kingdom of mankind. So those are some of the ways that we can be able to arrive at the conclusion of which God power is right. And maybe to add on, the power of the true God in heaven is much, much more higher than the power of the perceived God that can be man-made or that is Satan influenced.
Okay. All right, Pastor, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for your answer. All Looking right. forward to the rest of your answers for the rest of the week. Have a wonderful day, Brother Mfundis.
Have a wonderful day and good day, listeners. Thank you.
All right. That is Pastor Lizu Chinyama answering our question. He's our Ask a Pastor pastor for this week. If you have any questions, please send them through. We'd love to hear his answers.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.